Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages. Scared of you. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network, coming to you live and in color. Brought to you by the facilitated body of the International Black Summit. And what we're going to do is we're going to start the conversation off with the declaration of International Black Summit, as we normally do. And I'll pull that up for you in a second. Our website is blacksummit.org, so you can find out information about what we're doing, where we're going next, what our information is, our purpose of the International Black Youth Summit, the purpose of the Black International Black Young Adult Summit, and of course, the Declaration of the International Black Summit, which we're going to read for you right now. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991. September 6, 2016. North, south, east, west, above, below, within, and around. A moment of silence, please. And with that, we check our time. We're going to get Ms. Bird on the line. What she's doing. And I'm going to send out a couple of texts. Let some people know what's going on. Okay, she doesn't seem to be. Okay, so she'll come in when she comes in. So anyway, so tonight's conversation is really about several things, but the one important thing is the International Black Summit. Had an annual event in Ferguson. And it was an extraordinary event. One of the things that people said about it, I thought was interesting, is that it was one of the most intimate summits that they had attended. And I must admit, I must say the same for myself. I think it was a very intimate summit. I thought that the whole conversation of rage and anger and destruction and all that really contributed a lot to the conversation and to speak to where I was at in terms of, how I had suppressed myself, how I'd been living my life. And I'm going to say how I've been living my life as a black man in America and how I've learned to suppress myself and make sure I am guarded in my presentation, of who I am and what I'm about to, what I'm about to do. So I just think it was a very appropriate conversation, daunting at times, kind of scary. It was a little scary to me, for me to know myself the way I discovered myself inside of this conversation. So it was quite interesting. It was I would have never guessed that I was at where I was at. So that was quite interesting. And what else? The other thing is to kind of test the waters around other people being enraged and the country being enraged and a generation of people being enraged differently than maybe I was. It was just interesting. It was just quite interesting. So that's what I want to say about that. Let me see what else I'm going to say. Those are the main things I want to point to and suggest as we go through the conversation and the cycle of life around that conversation called anger. Just a real thing. A real, very, very interesting space in terms what I discovered for myself, what I am willing to discover and allowing myself to bump up and discover as well. Those are the main things that I would say about the summit. I want to talk a little bit about the Youth Summit and the Young Adult Summit as well, because those are two additional spaces that we're in, that the summit is, I should say. So we have the adult space. Of course, the adults are anybody over 18 that is an adult. And they get to, be in the summit. But we have something called the Young Adult Program, which is specifically for people between the ages of 18 and 35. One of the things that we discovered inside of our conversation, inside of being in Africa, was that a lot of Africans look at youth being up to the age of 35. And so so we actually had some folks create a curriculum around 18 to 35. And a lot of what they talk about and do is the kinds of things that you're working at that point in time, and so there are issues that you have. You may not have a mentor, some things that you might want to set up, and there are things that you're bumping up against that are different than if you were 40 or 50 or 60. So all of those things, so that perspective is taken into consideration inside of that particular space. And so I want you to know that the space is occurring along. So the adult room is happening, the young adult room is happening, and then the youth room is happening. And so, of course, if we've got participants in all three are going on simultaneously. And so that is the kind of the nature of how it works. But the interesting thing about it is that the youth perspective is very different than the adult, that is very different than the young adult. And so as a result of all of that, the incredible thing is that even though you have a different access point, the same conversation ends up in all three rooms. Now, I can't tell you scientifically how that occurs, but I can tell you that it does occur and that it is quite exhilarating to be inside that conversation and knowing that you've got the three different access points, but they all end up or come out the same. The same conversations are had in all three rooms. So it is quite, I'm going to say, quite miraculous. I'm going to turn on the mic of a friend of the show, one of our co-hosts, Mr. Jerry, MVP Thomas.
Hey.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How's my summer family doing?
Summer family is doing well, my brother. I cannot complain. I have another day above ground, which is always a blessing. And so with that blessing, I enjoy the fruits of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the suction of another piece of air that allows me to continue throughout this day. And so I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful and grateful for the opportunity and possibility that life continues to give me and bestow me. Because it is a privilege to be bestowed that another day, another moment, another minute of life, such that, you know, I get to engage with you. I get to engage with the people out here in the cosmos, but the radio waves, the internet radio waves that are transmitting, that allows us to speak to each other no matter where we are in the world.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful for all of that, my brother. Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm fine.
What's happening in your life?
My life is, I'm just transforming, my brother.
Hey.
Always.
Beautiful thing.
Yeah, keep myself involved. It's so funny. I was getting ready to call you tonight, and you sent me a text and called the show, and tonight we distinguish rage and fear. And I think that's a timeless, we have to talk about, especially as Africans around the world, you know, how do we distinguish that? Because people distinguish race and fear in different ways. Sometimes they know somebody who go through it. Sometimes they go through it themselves. Or sometimes they define by situations or life matters. And the way how things is right now for us as Africans around the world, we got to be in touch with that. We got to identify with that. But at the same time, we got to transform ourselves, trying to strive better.
Yeah. One of the things that came up that Perry talked about, Perry Parks, that is, who was one of the original facilitators, one of the OG facilitators. What he did was he had been looking at some things, and he talked with this Vipassana instructor, and the Vipassana instructor said to him that he was working with violent criminals in the prison system, and he said was that he was working with these 25 individuals who had all committed violent crimes, but none of them premeditated, which is the key here.
Mm-hmm.
So none of them thought about it ahead of time and planned it and did it. It was all out of anger. So the first question he asked them was, how many years were they in for? And so these 25 people totaled 491 years of time they received. 491 years of incarceration. And then the second question he asked them was, from the time that they got angry to the time that they actually committed their violent crime, how much time took place? And so the total for all 25 members of this group, the total time, when you added up each time from each person, the total was 4 minutes.
Mm.
Not the average, but this one had 30 seconds, this one had a minute, this one had a 10 seconds, this one had, this, you know, the total of all 25 individuals was 4 minutes. So when you begin to think about 4 minutes of anger for these 25 caused them 491 years of incarceration in a 6 by 6 foot cell for that amount of time, you know, you really want to look at what rage costs you in society and in your own life. Because you may not commit a violent crime, but you may lash out, you may say something nasty, upsetting, rude to somebody that may hurt their feelings or that may damage them in some way, in some form or fashion. So, yeah, you may not commit a violent crime, but your mouth, your speaking, can commit something to people that is hurtful. So, you know, so that was kind of like the backdrop context of the conversation as we looked and explored rage. So I'm going to ask you the question. Jerry, have you ever been enraged?
Enraged. In my lifetime, I can say I was enraged about four times in my lifetime.
Yeah, when I looked, two main incidents came into mind. Two fights I had with in school with with this, you know, boy my age, in the schoolyard at recess. He, you know, took my best friend's hat. It was cold outside. He took my best friend's hat off and threw it on the ground. So I punched him in the face. And I had this little Dakota ring on or whatever, and that ring, you know, bloodied his nose. Now, I hit him before I even, you know, I didn't think about it. I just reacted. And, you know, the next thing I remember is the school safety guard says, "Man, you really messed that dude up."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't even remember punching him. I know I punched him, but I didn't. But it wasn't like I planned to, or, you know, I just reacted. And then the next time, both of these incidents were in the third grade. And there was a guy who was a bully who was in my gym class. And, you know, before school started, he'd come around with some older guys, and he was a big man, and he, you know, talked tough and, you know, pushed people around and all that kind of stuff. And he and I were playing baseball or something, and he said something, did something. I don't even know what triggered it, to be honest with you. But the next thing I knew was I realized I was on top of him, punching him. And again, where did I come from? He was like, huh? I can't even remember what it was about. I do remember that I was mad enough at him. Whatever opportunity I had, I took it and, you know, was on top of him punching him out. So my point here is that those two incidents scared me. Like, I realized that I could be out of control.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, I think that one of the rage, I could say that you was around. And I'm not going to say her name. I'm just going to say T. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yep.
And I remember that you and my cousin came over. And I remember that it was a barbecue, and, you know, we was talking about summer stuff. We was talking about, I think we was talking about the time, we were talking about Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
And we were talking about the prerequisite, and we were talking about, you know, get me fully equipped with the summit language and stuff. And I remember that she just screamed at me, and I was enraged. And I remember, I could remember I was enraged, and I remember that I walked away from her, and it was people was laughing. And I remember Renee, like, let me go, because all my thoughts, and I didn't know you seen it. And I remember I was cooking, and I was enraged, and you said you was all right. And I remember you were just talking about the summit. And it calmed me down. I felt... Mm-hmm. I could say that if anybody know about the African spirit of the African fellowship, I felt it. I felt it that you was giving it to me, And I was enraged. Not to hit him, but to let him know, I ain't like how you keep on treating me like this. Because sometimes you could be enraged and not knowing, and also you could be enraged and knowing.
Yeah. Yes.
And sometimes knowing is almost much more dangerous than not knowing.
Yeah.
Because it becomes premeditated. And I guess that when you came in, it was premeditated. I was ready. I'm ready for battle. And I was going to say, she going to lose that battle. I know she would have.
Yeah.
But at the same time, at that time, I was transforming myself.
Yeah.
And you called me down as a brother. Not just a person in the Summit family, but as a brother. And I was like, okay. And I remember she said, what's the matter with him? And I know, I seen you was triggered. I said, brother, I'm fine. You was triggered. I knew you was triggered. I said, brother, I'm fine. Let's talk about distinctions. So, okay. So, when I said the summer became a part of my life, even now, it is. But I remember that I'm in this space to impact us Africans around the world. So I had to calm myself down, learn the distinctions, and let the conversation goes on. And it was so beautiful because after that, I just like, pew. Now, I picture if you would not have been there on my cousin. Again, I would not hit her. But I would lash out where would let me. And so, it brings, when you deal with the conversation, I tell people, when you deal with the conversation at the International Black Summit, it brings a lot to the table, and you have to know, yes, that's why to know the distinction, and know the conversation, you have to know, because you have to let it be applied in your life, because it was hard. You were talking, I said, oh, but I have to, I said, whoa, I'm different now. I'm impacting people's lives now. So I got to set the tone. And that's what happened. I calmed myself down. I got back to my old self. And I started having a good time. And I could tell you, when I walk into the train, whatever, when I walk back, I met my cousin. He said, I hope you're I'm fine. I act like nothing happened. And she looked at me like, why you haven't said anything to me? I said, whatever it is, it's always done. You want me to help you? No, that's all right. You can go to bed. I'm going to take off day of work. I said, okay. So I sat on the couch. The rest of 2 hours, I got up, put the food up. Clean. And I got my pillow and I lay on the couch and I thank God and I thank the Summit for loving me that much, part of it. And I totally forgot about it. And the Summit has helped me that sometimes you got to see what it is. But at the same time, you should never, never stop the file distinctions. You should never, never stop go to the conversation. You should never, never stop involving yourself in a summit. You got to involve yourself. You cannot stand still. So see, when you stand still, you have rage. You stand still, you have fear. So sometimes you just got to hold. I got to conquer this. So when I say that no one learning the International Black Summit is a process, it is a process, but it's a beautiful process. And it's hard work. Not everybody can do what we could do. But if you put in the work, you will get results. And I can tell you, I got results that night. And I felt better. Now, I'm taking away the hurt now. Don't get me wrong. But I felt better because I knew then, even before then, but giving that reinsurance, what I belong, you know? And that's important.
What happened, Jerry? You cut out for a second there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know. My phone be acting crazy. No, what I was saying that when I walked back, when I left from you, Renee,
uh-huh.
I felt a little rage was happening, but I said, no, I'm not going to let it happen. So I read the deck. So I went home, I read the decoration. And then what happened when I read the decoration, it bring up a greater perspective, what you were talking about, a greater perspective of the space that I want to be in. And she said, so like she went to sleep. So when she went to sleep, that's when I went to sleep. Let me lay down, I clean up. And then what happened was when I was cleaning up, I was reading the decoration, but I kept on reading it. Because I want the decoration to become more involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. I let the decoration involve my space at that time because at that time I needed decoration. I needed it. And I kept on reading it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now go ahead.
No, go ahead. You finished.
And so after I finished cleaning the dishes, put the food up and everything, she came out and said, are you all right? Are you coming to bed? Nah, I'd rather be by myself. I mean, doing the summit thing. She said, I understand. Wherever you want to come to bed and talk, I would like to talk. No, that's all right. You got to get up and go to work. You know, I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that time I was going to college too.
Mhm.
Yeah, I was going to college. I was going to college at the time. Yeah, I was going to college. So I was going through some notes anyway. But after I finished going through the notes, I was kept on looking at the decoration. How does the decoration hit home with me at this matter I was going through? And like
mm-hmm.
I thought, I let it keep on evolving. You have to trust it. Yeah, I tell people, you got to trust it. I tell people, you got to trust the summit language. You got to trust the one. And I'm very big on our history. So I said, listen, there are people who had came before me, had laid the fruit down. So it's much more than right that I got to respect that. And the other ones who made their transition. That was very important to me in the space that I was in. And that was it. And then I felt good after that.
Yeah, that's awesome. What I wanted to say is that in this particular case, you're able to use the declaration to notice your anger,
mm-hmm.
use the declaration to calm yourself and to relax, and you actually have choice about the anger and rage. And so that's an example of you were able to divert or not do something out of anger that clearly you were, you know, enraged by, but chose not
mm-hmm.
to act on it.
Yeah.
And so And so one of the things that we tell people about in the summit is that the distinctions that we have, you know, we've got a bunch of different distinctions, clearing, trigger, no out there, no right way to be. Those are the tools that you use to unblock you, bridle your ideas or your commitment. Because once you're enraged or once you're triggered, your commitment gets redirected.
Yeah.
Inside of that rage and inside of that trigger. Because one of the things that we say inside of the International Black Summit is that when you're triggered, you are on automatic pilot. So you go into automatic. And I know for myself, when I looked at my anger and when I got enraged, I don't even remember what I did. I was on automatic pilot. I was just doing what my instincts told me, my body told me, whatever. So again, the tools of the International Black Summit are designed, distinctions are designed to keep you on track, to keep you back on track, to put you back on track when you get off, when you notice that you're off, when you're tracking yourself. And we do, and that's another thing that we do inside of the International Black Summit. We track ourselves to see where we are in the conversation inside of our commitment. And is this action consistent with that? And so for a lot of years, because of that, Jerry, I knew not to go there. So I became very, very calm and focused and wouldn't let myself or let things have me go there so that I would be out of control. And one of the things that we talked about in this particular summit specifically was around being able to redirect that anger. One of the guys shared that he redirected his anger through football. So he was able to get his aggression out through sports, through hitting somebody, and the aggressiveness that football is. So that's a way to constructively and inside of your commitment redirect the anger in a particular way. So, all those things kind of come into play. And that's part of the things that we talked about and we distinguished for ourselves. And when I look for myself, I see that I have been leading a very suppressed life. I noticed probably about 10 or 15 years ago, maybe it's a little longer than that, maybe about 20 years ago, I discovered myself yelling back at people in cars when they cut me off or do something stupid, and I noticed I would yell, and that would actually free up some things for myself. But I noticed I would only do that in that. That was the only place I would let it out. It was still very controlled, but I would allow it to kind of emerge inside of that. And, of course, I would say some very nasty things now that I think about it inside of that rage. But once I said it, boom, it was out, and then I kind of felt better, and then I could move on. So I did notice that there was an opportunity for me to get it out. So we've got Henrietta Bird on the line. Let me open up her mic. Henrietta, the vivacious, sexy Henrietta Bird, all the way from Chi-Town. How you doing?
Yeah, man. I own Chi-Town. I own Summit. Our sister.
What's your sister?
Our sister. We home. That's our Summit sister. Back off, world.
That's right.
Our sister, back off, world.
Hey, Jerry. Hey, Glenn.
Hi, my sister. But I want to say something to you and Glenn and the ones that I co-host. So I just want to say that
and I mean this, that if I'm getting a little emotional, understand what I'm saying, that when y'all introduced me to the summit, I was in a very low part of my life. I felt not wanted. I felt that I want to do something for our people globally. And y'all took the time to help me that I could contribute. And I haven't looked back ever since. And I wish that people would know how my life has transformed. I wish that people would just come in my castle and go to summit 2010 me and be around people that look like me and go through the prerequisite and host the shows and help facilitate calls that y'all help me to get these people. Come on, Jay, you can do it now. And remember, Lenar used to call, come on, I find him. No, come on now. Looking for you now. And other facilitators that start this conversation back in 1991 in Atlanta. I just wish people would know that. I had a rich life. Maybe it's not like financial, but I had a rich life that I could actually say that I shook hands and conversate and fellowship with people that I see on TV, that fellowship the people that I read in the books, that fellowship with people that have this to impact our lives, that we have control of our lives as Africans that sit around the world. So understand that each of us have a vision, and we got to know our vision. But at the same time, we cannot stop there to express our vision, to share our vision to others, to understand that we have an obligation and a commitment to impact our community no matter what. And, wow, for me, being 50 years old, nobody cannot take that from me. Nobody cannot take that from me.
They certainly cannot, brother.
Yeah, I wish people understand that. You know, it's easy to talk, but you like you and Harriella and Clara and them, you got to do the work. It ain't all about you. It's about the nation that other people had laid the foundation on. The other facilitators that finally made our conversation in that Black Summit back in 95. And I appreciate that so much.
So, Jerry.
Yes.
If you don't mind, I would just like, because this is such a great acknowledgement that you're offering us, but I would just like to thank you for allowing us the space to be with you and where you are. And you are, like I used to say, Jerry is the poster child for the International Black Summit, you know. You embraced, you know, you were in every question that we've had, every inquiry. You know, you embraced all aspects of yourself, including rage and fear. You know, you shared your life with the world on this show. And in doing so, you've made space for healing in your life. And we so appreciate, acknowledge, and celebrate who you are as a member of the leadership body of the International Black Summit, as well as one of our talk show hosts. Just celebrate who you are and who you are being. I would like, because of the question that we're in this season, to ask you if you would and see sharing what it's like to embrace fear. If you could share with the listeners, like, what it's really like to embrace fear.
Right now?
Right now.
To embrace fear.
To embrace it. Yep, to look at it.
Well, for me, to embrace fear, you gotta go through it. And the only way, when you embrace fear, yeah, there's going to be some uncomfortableness. Yes, it is. But when you embrace it, the only way you can go up. But you got to understand, you got to go through the BS too. You got to go through uncomfortableness. You got to go through the flood. You got to go for your imperfections. You got to go through the certain demons you have temporarily. And you have to understand the only way is to go down. You got to go up. But you got to be with it. You got to feel it. You got to feel it. I think you got to feel fear. You got to acknowledge it. You have to know it. And you then got to say, I don't like this. Excuse my language. I don't like this fucking shit. I don't like being in fear. I want to be brave. And when you be brave, that's what's for me to embrace International Black Summer in my life. I don't want to be in fear no more. I don't want to be people just like make me feel this way. I want to be brave because our ancestors and the one who made their transition before me, even after the ones I became close to, they had no fear. So I have to follow the footsteps of them and to apply myself. People say, I don't want to deal with fear. That means you punk. You don't want to fight. I'm fighting. I don't want to be in fear because at the end of the day, I got to pass somebody's life. And when you pass somebody's life, you can't be in fear. You got to be brave. The way how this world treats us as a people, you gotta be brave. You gotta stick up. You gotta stand up. You won't get your lumps and bumps. Oh, what? It's okay. And that's what I learned from the last summit. That we took our lumps, and but we still here. You can't knock us off. We here. We fighting. For our vision. To be noticed in this world. Just as the ones had set the conversation, like I talk about Brother Glenn, and then finally Glenn was part of that. They're finally, okay, Landmark, you have your time. Now it's our conversation now. To identify us as African descent in 95. I believe it's in New York. If I'm right or wrong, let me know.
You're right. You're right, my brother.
And so funny, I got married in 95, and I ain't going to get into that. But like I'm saying that, I got a blueprint from not being fit. Because you gotta understand, I can't imagine Glenn, you and other ones, you don't have to deal with Landmark and everything. Yeah, it's all right, you know. But you know, we want our own conversation, Landmark. You understand what I'm saying? We want our own. We want to identify the people look like ourselves. And it had to take a whole lot to go through the distinctives, the conversation, the declaration. The praying and everything. I can't imagine what you're going through. I'm standing on that, brother and sister. So, Henrietta, there's no excuse for me being fear. Nah, I ain't trying to be fear no more. I'm fearless. I ain't fear no more. I ain't fear no more. because the summit had granted me that. Y'all grant me, and I understand, thanks for the compliment, Henriette, but I had to say this. Y'all love me as a person. You took a breath from the hood, that triumph, that knowledge. Well, certain times that I didn't know I had, and you took me along the way. You didn't throw me out. Come on, we're going to help you. We want you to get this conversation. We want you to grant this vision like we grant. Come on, we're going to help you. So I became a statistic listener. Less than a month later, I became a talk show host. Then I was the prerequisite with Henrietta and Cage and all that. And as people say, oh, yeah, you're part of, you don't need a prerequisite. Yes, I do need a prerequisite. Yes, I do need it. We a family here. Ain't nobody no different than nobody else. But I have to want it for myself. So at the same time, when Harriet was talking to me, Glenn, about the prerequisites, he said, I'm looking for you. You know, I'm not a husband case. I'm looking for you to show leadership in this class. You and Jill. I'm like, oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand the importance of it.
Yep.
So
yep.
I have to work extra hard at these things. I have to work extra hard to know the declaration. You know, they'll be here till I ain't got no sleep. But I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to set the tone. This ain't no game, brothers and sisters. This is real thing. We impact people's lives. This is the process here. I have to tell someone, hey, listen, come on in. No. This ain't no play. This ain't no joke here. Stand firm in your blackness and unfold before us to set the tone, to set this so we could benefit. Oh, yeah, it was that time. I was triggered. That Henry had to pull me to jail to calm down. I understand. I said, I'll trade it. Because y'all not taking it seriously. This ain't no joke here. This impacts people's lives in here. And so when the prerequisite is over, so understand, yeah, I was milking. Yeah, I was like intermediate. Yeah, I was. But when I got some language, I got my master's. And you can't tell me nothing.
I know that's right, brother.
I got my master's. And then when I came, and I'm going to tell you, brother, and I never forget this. When I find prerequisite, I see Henrietta. Okay, they cried. And I cried, and they hugged. That was one of the personal, I could say a personal concert that I did, but it was not all that personal. It was fun for me that, okay, I could put in the work now. I could impact people's lives now because I got the summit language.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
You had access, brother.
Yeah, I had access, right. And you know, I didn't turn on the access. I got to want the access. See, that's the key. You know, I still don't understand that when you go to, you have to want the access. This language ain't gonna give it to you. This conversation ain't gonna give it to you. You have to want to do the work. It's 24/7.
Self-generation, baby.
That's right, self-generation. That's right. So part of that, I help self-generate my name MVP.
That's right.
So. Yeah. So for me,
hold on a second, Jerry. So for those of you who don't know, at the summit in Baltimore, Jerry distinguished himself as MVP for an acknowledgement that he didn't receive in real life, but he was able to duplicate and recreate at the summit that completed something around having him be acknowledged as an MVP. So when we say Jerry MVP,
it's kind of like an inside, not a joke, but an inside, you know, understanding, whereas, you know, that's not just a some letters that we put on to it, but it's got a whole lot of meaning and significance for us as a Summer family and for Jerry personally in his life, like that.
Yeah. And so, and go more on your point, Glenn and Henrietta, help me with this too. The only way you're going to self-generate wherever it is in your life, you got to go through the process of the International Black Summit. That's the only way. There's no shortcuts. There's nothing. You have to go through the process. And it gets hard. But it's a beautiful African experience. You have people look like you that think, thought, eat, whatever it is, the same way. You got to self-generate your lives, brothers and sisters. I've done it. I keep on doing it. Despite I haven't been part of Summit, but I'm part of Summit family for life, and that Summit family also be my life. And I don't care what it is. I don't care wherever I go. The Summit always going to come with me. It's going to stay with me because the Summit has saved my life. And I ain't talking about myself. I ain't talking about killing myself. I'm talking about culture. Identify our culture. Identify us as a people. Identify us as a human race. It saved me. And I tell anybody that listen right here, if you want to put in the work, it's hard work, easy, but it's rewarding. Because all you have to know that you got people that look just like you, and they're going to love you. They're going to support you. But you have to show, you got to prove to yourself that you're ready for this. You got to make sacrifices. You got to understand it ain't all about you. It's all about the conversation, and it's all about the ones like my brother Glenn right here and my sister Henrietta had been facilitator over 10 years. You hear what I'm saying? So I urge people, listen to them. Understand what they're saying. Understand the importance why this work has gained them abundance. Understand when Henrietta setting up the stuff. Understand my brother Glenn that holding it down to have his hands in many things as heavy as it. Understand what the cage is. Understand it, because these are stories that I heard that could happen to me too. So I tell any listener here, embrace it. It's hard, you know, you gotta make sacrifice, yeah. But the reward is good. And understand it's not all about you, it's about the conversation. It's all about impact each other vision. But to understand that you want others to benefit too.
With that, my brother, we are out of time. I have two other listeners that are on the line. 404-409. Mr. Rod, your mic is open, and 313-914, Maya, your mic is open as well. So if you want to say something, now's the time before we shut it down.
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah, man.
Are you there? Okay, good. Thanks for letting me in. I just got Jerry's communication when she came in loud and clear. I heard Mr. Henrietta. I heard a little bit of your sharing, so I just enjoy the conversation tonight. I don't have anything really to say. Just it was just good to see how you channeled your energy for your anger, and then of course how we all deal with our different things around anger. But it was just a great show. That's about it for me. I'm a little exhausted. I got to get up early in the morning, but I enjoyed the show. Thanks.
All right, my brother. Well, thanks for tuning in. It's always a pleasure to hear you. Maya, you're out there. 313. All right, Henrietta, I'm gonna pass it to you, and then we'll kiss it goodnight.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. Jerry, thank you so much for being the one tonight. Thank you. I want us to take a look at another trigger this week, and then we'll distinguish it next week on the show. But I want you to look at the triggers that make you happy. You know, there's a trigger that makes you feel good and makes you happy, and it is as powerful as any other trigger, and it can take you where you don't want to leave that happy space, and it keeps you from doing things that you might have to do. So I want you to take a look at trigger this week where it takes you into a space of joy and happiness and pleasure, but to the degree that you are not present to what else you have to do. And I think when we look at trigger both ways, or rage or fear, like we looked at fear tonight, let's look at things that trigger us and have us stay there, you know, stay there longer than maybe we want to stay. You hear what I'm saying, Glenn?
Absolutely. We want to engage it. We want to track it. We want to be
right
with it in a way that we have not possibly been with before, so that we can analyze it for ourselves.
Yeah. You know, just like when we get triggered and we are able to identify, oh, I'm triggered, and we do what we do to bring ourselves back present. We also have to do that when we're having a good time and when we're enjoying ourselves and when we, you know, just having a ball and we have other things to do. So let's look at trigger in a different way this week, and then we'll distinguish it more next week. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening.
Can I ask you one question? When does the next show, is next week on this day?
Yes, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Oh, really? Well, I'm in.
Yeah, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday.
Okay. Cool. So this is an International Black Summit Talk Show coming to an end. Don't forget to check us out on our website, www.blacksummit.org. The website's got a lot of information about what we're doing. We are going to Guyana, West Indies, next year for the annual event. So start putting your coins together and start doing what you need to do, because we're going overseas. Make sure your
passport
is in order, you know, if it's in check, make sure that that's right. Matter of fact, I need to check mine, make sure. But do all those things. Start doing those things now, because August is going to be upon us very quickly. Start looking for your flights, all that information. So start doing the do, so that we're going to have a good time in Guyana. All right, y'all. Peace and blessings. Great show. Love y'all. See you next week.
Bye.
Okay.
Peace and blessings.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.